last and certainly not least, once again, to my wife and my friend and confidant, Felicia Shiver Jacobson. I said to her when I came home yesterday from my hometown of Columbia, South Carolina, because my home is in Stallings. Oh, somebody missed that. I said, my home is installed. My hometown is Columbia, South Carolina, but my home, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't say my house, you know, because a chair is still a chair, but a house is not home. Amen. To my home that has been established with my wife. And I told her how much I appreciate her. Every time I go to my hometown, I just come back with a greater appreciation for the life that God has given me and the wife that God has given me. The life and the wife that I have. And I'm just very grateful to the Lord for having an opportunity to be her covering, her husband and her friend, and all of that stuff. Amen. And as well as a parent to our children. Blessings upon you. That you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 16. We'll read verses 16 through 20 from the New King James Version of the Bible. You can follow along with me in your respective versions. Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. And if you're able to stand, please stand once you're there. I like to see the Bibles in people's hands. That's so wonderful. Amen. Not the devices, but the weight of the word. Amen. I like the way it feels in my hands. Once upon a time, someone was educating me on the fact that the Bible is now in electronic format. That as I was visiting the hospital, there was no need for me to have to carry even the mini Bible, the full Bible, still a smaller version, the compact Bible, because now you can have it on your phone. And I said, wow, well, thanks for enlightening me on that, because I had no idea in all of my studies in academia and in teaching and preaching that I could actually get the Bible on my phone. I said, when I'm operating in a ministerial capacity and an official capacity, as in my visitation here today, sometimes having the Bible in your hands is a visual comfort to the people with whom you're visiting, rather than the convenience of taking out my cell phone and swiping, hallelujah. I said, it's better to carry the sword.
Amen.
I don't know where. Okay, amen. If you're there, say amen. It reads thus, then the 11 disciples went away from Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. You may be seated. Again, the B portion of verse 20. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And today I will preach into your hearing with your prayers and certainly with the aid of the Holy Spirit from this introductory message in this series, God is with you. God is with you. This is the introduction today. Amen.
Amen.
Father, this is your time. These are your people, and this is your word. Help me to use this time with your people within your word to grant a great amount of solace and insight and encouragement, O God, and especially truth and clarity, O God, that I will treat this time and your sacred people and your sacred word with great care. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my strength and redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
God is with you. I said, God is with you. In the event you may have been wondering about whether God is on your side in the midst of things with which you may have been dealing in your daily lives in the past, or even sometimes you may be worrying about in the future. Whether God is with you and concerned about what is going on, I want to encourage you again today that God is with you. I am not a normal look at your neighbor kind of preacher, but I do want us to encourage one another this morning by looking at someone and just telling them, encouraging them that God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. Hey, God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. No, God is with you. Listen, God is with you, and it's not a matter of whether we can detect his presence, whether we can discern his presence, whether we feel his presence. This is not a matter of perception. It is a statement of fact and truth. Now, it's a statement of fact on the basis of what God is necessarily within himself. How do I know that God is with me? Well, number one, anybody who is going to come to God and know him must first believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now that doesn't give the argument, but I'm setting it up for that because, first of all, God exists. Am I right about this? We don't have any doubt. None of us in here have that doubt that God exists. But I submit to you again that we may struggle from time to time because we can't feel him. We cannot detect him. We cannot see him. We cannot perceive him. And thus we go on a doubt journey about the presence of God in our lives. But I will tell you again that by virtue of what he is and the fact that he is, God is with you. Hallelujah. Now, God, who has created all things from out of nothing, as he spoke by the word of his power, hallelujah, has his presence among creation in this sense, as we sometimes say, his omnipresence and immanence. Now, we know that when we say omnipresence, that means simply that God is present in all places at all times. Hallelujah. He is everywhere present. There is nowhere that God is not. He is nowhere absent. God is all present. He's infinite. He's boundless. He's limitless. He's ubiquitous. He's pervasive and universal. Hallelujah. But now we talk about God is immanent, I-M-M-A-N-E-N-T or E-N-C-E, not imminent as with Christ, that is, he is over all things. But in this sense, we're talking about God is what? Everywhere near. That is, he is rooted or deep rooted. That is, there's no place where you're closer to God at that point than you are spatially or spatio-temporally at some other place, that God is just everywhere near. Can I help us right here for a second? Anytime you feel that you are far from God, and I said feel that you're far from God, why don't you just stop right there, doubt that doubt, and say, God, why don't you show me right? Oh my God! Give me some sign. Right, I'm not. It doesn't have to be spectacular, God, but let me know that you're walking with me right now. At least right now. At least give me a peace of mind. Can I testify right here for a second while I'm still talking about imminence? Every now and then, where I find myself in the secular work world, rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And while I'm in that place in professional capacity or in those places in a professional capacity, I sometimes witness that things seem to be going a little bit awry. Things are going off the rails. There may be some pressure that's building up. Yes, I'm noticing that there's some tension because there is contention that's in the midst of a given environment. Right. And if I'm on the docket, yes, sir. to come in and be ready to contribute my professional acumen and expertise and domain knowledge to those environments, I will say under my breath or in my mind while my phone is on mute, or if I'm sitting in the conference room among other peers, I will say, God is with me. Y'all don't hear that right there. I'm telling you, I'm testifying now. I say, God, listen, and as soon as I say, God, you're with me. Do you know what happens in that instance? All of that anxiety, even the kernel, the spark of anxiety that's trying to start and doubt's trying to come in, they all just melt right away, right away. I'm trying to figure out a problem. Deadlines are looming. Haven't made any progress. I'll say this. God, you know the answer to this. Show me the answer. Y'all don't hear what. Show me the answer, because I know that you are with me. Do y'all know what happens in most of those? I would dare say all, but I want to be fair today, because I haven't taken any empirical evidence. So I'm speaking anecdotally. I'm testifying. But do you know what often happens in the midst of that? That the answers start to become clear. And then any kernel of anxiety or any burgeoning anxiety starts to melt away right away. All you got to do is ask him. You don't have to wait to come to church, quote unquote. God is imminent and he's omnipresent. Right wherever you are is where you can find the help that you need, because God being everywhere near is right there with you. Hallelujah. You see, we know that God is imminent and omnipresent because God is infinite. God as an infinite being has no limits on his essence, which means then he can be all places at all times. God is immaterial. That is, he's spirit. They that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. You see, material is bound by space and time. God is immaterial. And what is immaterial is beyond space and time. That is, not bound by it. Thus, God is everywhere at all times, which means that God is omnipresent. Let me tell you about his immanence from immateriality. God is immaterial, and to be immaterial is to be everywhere present.
That's right.
What is everywhere present is of necessity everywhere near. Thus, God is everywhere near, and again, he is immanent. Is anybody loving this? I'm loving it. One writer says this, as God is unchangeable in regard of essence, knowledge, purpose, so he is unchangeable in regard of place. He cannot be changed in time because he is in eternity. So he cannot be changed in place because he has ubiquity. He's everywhere. He is eternal, therefore cannot be changed in time. He is omnipresent, therefore cannot be changed in place. What are you talking about? God is not bound by space or time. He does not begin in one place wherein he was not before, or cease to be in another place wherein he was before. He fills every place in heaven and earth, cannot change place. He cannot leave one place to possess another place. That is equally in regard of his essence in all things. He fills both heaven and earth. So says Jeremiah 24, and that's Stephen Charnock from his Discourses on the Attributes of God. But listen to what this writer has to say. While God presents himself as a transcendent God, he is also immanent, seeking fellowship with men. Don't you know that God wants fellowship with you? Why would God, if he tried to hide himself from you, he couldn't. Not in the sense of his essence. He may be able to close your eyes to his presence, but then you can have an easy response to that. God, open my eyes and let me be able to see where you are. So listen, he wants to have fellowship with you. And get this. He does have fellowship with you because God is with you. Now, the real question becomes, do you want to have fellowship with him? But he can't help but to be where you are because he's everywhere near and in all places at all times. So the writer continues. He recognizes the creation of man as very good. So say the scriptures. He creates man in his own image and likeness that he may have a relationship with man and that man may rule over the earth. He speaks with man. Do you know how he speaks to us now? Through his word. Hallelujah. Let me continue. He creates an environment, especially for man. He tests man's loyalty. He seeks man. So says Paul Innes in the Moody Handbook of Theology. Can I do one more? Anybody want to hear another one? The omnipresence and imminence of God in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. Where can I go from your spirit? This is David talking about, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the winds of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Do you really believe that God is with you? It's somewhat rhetorical, but by the same token, it's serious. Because if you fail to accept the truth, and I said the truth, if you were in Bible study, I think it was last year, maybe the year before last, fact versus truth. All facts true, all true facts. Is there a difference? Listen, everything that's purported to be a fact is not necessarily the truth. But all truths are of necessity a fact. Again, I'm not telling you facts, but I'm telling you truths that you can take as a fact. You see, if you don't accept the truth that God is everywhere near, then you will start to do things to try to replace what you think is the absence of God in your life. I got to say that again. Well, if you do not accept this truth that God is everywhere near and omnipresent and desires to have loving relational fellowship with you, what you will do then is things that replace what you perceive as the absence of God. And I got to tell you right now, either is God or it's not God, and on the other side of not God, ultimately is just destruction, disappointment, and disillusionment. So, I want you to embrace the truth that God is with you. Can we do this again? Can you just tell somebody one more time before I go continue? You just hey, God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. I just tell somebody. Tell them. Don't be shy. Look at somebody and tell them that God is with you. That God is with you. He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. God is with you. He's with us. I can make it personal and say, God is with me. I've testified of it already. God, I know you're with me. Then I see you doing things. Even when I don't understand, I do know this, what you're doing. I do know this, as the Proverbs writer says in 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Yes. I know that you're with me, God, because your eyes are everywhere. He says in Acts chapter 17, verses 27 through 28, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. He is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. And even so, the Hebrews writer says this in chapter 4 and verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I know that you're seeing it all, God. If you're seeing it all, then I know that your gaze and your attention is upon me. But it's not like with human eyes that we can see from a distance but not be able to touch and do anything about a situation or a circumstance. You're not spatio-temporally limited, oh God, in location or anything like that. You are everywhere at all times, and you're everywhere near. Therefore, my confidence is that you are with me. Hallelujah. And since you're with me, I can at least be about the business of giving people the good news that you're also here for them. And that's what he did. Hallelujah. With the 11 disciples. Starting in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 28. Where after he had risen victoriously from the grave on the third day morning. He got up out of that borrowed tomb, having already robbed the devil of any power and supposed authority that he had to keep the saints afraid of the one weapon, hallelujah, that would strike fear into them, and that was death. He robbed the devil of the ability to continue to keep us in the bondage of fear of death. And when he came forth, he began to speak to the faithful 11 disciples who remain. And they went away into Galilee to the mountains, or to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. I told y'all when I come out that I need you to meet me somewhere because there's some other things I still need to do before I can turn you loose and I can go back to the place from whence I have come. Because I have come from eternity. I've come from heaven. In fact, I took on flesh and dwelt among y'all for a little while. Now I'm going back to the place. Let me move on. Hallelujah. Listen, he had appointed a place to meet them, and when they saw him, they did, frankly, what we should all do. But not just because we see. You see, John says near the end of his writing in chapter 20, he's talking to Thomas, Thomas, you believe because you've seen. But blessed are those who believe what and have not seen. You see, it's not about what we see, because what we see is what? Temporal. But what we don't see is what? Eternal. I got to fix my eyes beyond just what it is that I can see by virtue of the physics and the physiology of the biological tools that I have, hallelujah, to be able to perceive things with eyesight. Some things I just got to take as fact and truth. That God is with me, whether I can see it or not. Some of them saw him, and they understood a lot more, hallelujah, than just what their physical eyes had told them. And they understood to such an extent that they did what? Worshipped. Do you think... Let me not give you a chance to get in this. Listen, a lot of times our own worship is hindered by what we think we see. Yeah, God. Oftentimes our worship of the Savior is hindered by what we think we see. We don't ask the nearby, everywhere present God if I'm seeing things the right way. I have another testimony. I've been in the workplace. Can I leave in the workplace for now? Because I may get accused of telling somebody business if I take it out of the workplace. So in the workplace, I have witnessed certain activities taking place over the years, even recently. And throughout my career, and particularly recently, I have looked and said, now, God, everything that I'm seeing points to the fact that this is not a great situation. In fact, God, it looks like I may have to start doing some different things here to kind of protect myself against the danger of any particular loss or any kind of harm. But God, I could be seeing this the wrong way. Will you help me to see it a little bit better? Otherwise, at some point, God, some vociferous vulgarities that are welling up in my bosom, that are yea nigh upon my lips, may issue forth unto a desecration of your name and a destruction of my testimony. What are you talking about, preacher? Now somebody might get cussed out of here. Look, they know that I look like the kind of man that might cut you out. Well, I thought you let the kind of man look like Jesus. Listen, I'm being conformed to the image of God's son, but I'm not God's son. I'm just a man. I said it. If I'm just a man, I'm not Superman. If you keep digging at the corner, man, he gonna rise up after a while. You keep trying to excavate him, I'm like, well, I'm gonna give you what you're looking for. But I ask God instead, because God is with me. I say, I know you're right here when you see it. And then God gives the response. Just hold on for a minute. Because even if they intended to be evil, I'm going to work it for the good that it can be brought about as it is, that my will shall be done. I don't have to look at things in the wrong way. Then I don't have my vision all messed up, that I'm doubting the Savior instead of worshiping the Savior. So he knows that there are some doubters and some worshipers in there, yet he still came in among them. Think about the omnipresent and the immanent God. You don't think he knows where there's doubt, where there is, you know, as they say, a dubiousness in people's disposition towards his divine nature. He understands this. Why? Because his eyes are in all places, watching over the affairs of men. He's an immanent God. He's everywhere near. He's an omnipresent God. All praise at all times. And even being in the flesh and tabernacling among men, he still knows this about them. Just like he said to Nicodemus, or as it was said before he spoke to Nicodemus at the end of chapter 2 of John chapter 2. He didn't need anybody to tell him what was in a man, because he knew it was in a man. Then there was a man sneaking in by night. Nevertheless, he knows who's there even in his incarnation. He comes to them, speaks to them, saying, all authority. Can anybody say all authority? All authority. I'm being serious. See, you got to get in your mind that since God is with you and he's everywhere near, that is, he's imminent and he's omnipresent, all places at all times, that you got to know what kind of God is always near you and is with you. It's the God of all authority. Can I stop right here for a second? Because you see, there are no, this is what I remind myself of when I'm in many different places. And it appears that things, again, are about to go awry or go off the rails. And then I'm reminded, hold on a second. God, you have all authority. Every single bit of this is subject to your will. Now, if it's your will that these things should come upon me, then hallelujah. Because I know that you have the authority to keep me and the power to keep me in the midst of this. Authority here, exousia, but the power, the dunamis, right? You have the ability and the authority and the power to keep me in the midst of it. But God, if you do some of that other spectacular stuff, that you start to show up and make people shut their mouths, that you start to put things in motion, God, and make them come to actualization, where they start to get moved over here and moved over there, and every place they're being moved, they're away from me. Hallelujah. You can do that part too. Or you can just pick me up and not turn me around and place my feet on solid ground. You can just pick me up and take me on out of here. God, I'm for any bit of that, but I know this. You're with me, and you got all authority. He encourages them, his disciples, by telling them, as I encourage you today through this word, he tells them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Oh, y'all got to catch that. when you look up at the sky, and I'm talking about the night sky, but you can include the night sky. Typically, we think of the vastness of it all. Amen. That there's no end to it. The daytime sky looks like there's a blue dome over us. And that's the way we typically perceive it, right? That there's a blue dome as far as the eye can see. But at night, out into that blackness, you look and go, where does that end? Or at least for me, I go, well, first of all, what is all that? And then secondly, where does this end? Jesus is saying both what you can perceive down here and what you can't perceive up there. Both what you know and what you don't know. I have all I have all authority in every instance and circumstance in which authority can be exercised. All of it has been given to me. Somebody gives you something, then that must mean they have more authority than you do. I'm not talking about in essence. He's still here localized. I'm not talking about in his essence, in his eternal nature. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am saying is he's making it plain to them that you can trust me. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Who gave it to me? My Father. Or as he would say, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord, and I will take it up again in that day. God has all authority. Y'all need to understand, even right now, what I'm trying to tell you about myself. Listen, it's all been given to me. So since I have authority, I'm going to send you. Let me ask you something. When somebody sends you someplace, do you go just because you want to go? Or do you go because they have authority to send you? And when they have the authority to send you, when you arrive at your destination, you exercise the authority of yourself or the person who sent you. Y'all ain't catching what I'm saying here. Let me say it again. When I send Patrice to the store and I say, here it is, I want to get this and I want to get that and I want to get that. She gets up and goes to the store. Why? Because I have authority over her. But now when she gets to the store, she's exercising and operating in the authority that comes from me. How is that so? Through the purchasing power or the access that has been granted. And then she has the authority to even act in my interests if I haven't given specific instructions. Daddy, I'm here at the store. I got everything you wanted, but I thought about these things and I want to know if you wanted me to get them. Now, she's still saying, I'm still subject to your authority, but I'm going to act in your behalf to accomplish what you wanted me to do. Anybody catch what I'm saying? And what does he do? I said, yeah, go ahead. That's good, because I hadn't thought about that. Now, the illustration falls apart because we know Jesus don't send him out and say, oh, yeah, I'm glad y'all did that because I forgot about that. That's not how that works. But that's human stuff. Thank you for that, brother, right? But listen, you are exercising the authority of the person who has sent you to go out. So he gives them authority to do what? Go. To go. And do what? Make disciples. Go and make some pupils. Go and make some learners. Go out and find them and have them to learn about me. Hallelujah. And when you tell them about me, you can tell them that they can trust me because I come from the omnipresent and the immanent God who is always around. Now, he hadn't said that yet, but that's the authority that he's given it. Listen, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, the ethnos, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, all the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And then he tells them this. Lo, I'm with you. I'm not just sending you to the store and then spatially I cannot be there with you in the location. If I send, listen, then that means you're going away from where I am. Y'all didn't hear that. Anytime you are sent in an earthly capacity, that's the way that sending occurs, of necessity. I'm going to send you around the corner. Well, if you sent you around the corner and I'm still right here and I've sent you, then that means that you are away from me. But he's telling them, when I send you, I'm not going away. I'm still going to be with you. I and the Father are one. Even though I'm going back to the Father, because he's told them that, I'm going back to the Father. Told them that. They didn't understand what that stuff meant. They ain't going to understand it until they get to Acts chapter 1. From our perspective, right? And he tells them, I'm going back to the Father, but I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the age. So is he trying to deceive them? He's trying to trick them, confuse them? I'm going to be with the Father, but I'm going to be with you always. He's making a statement here to comfort them, a statement of truth that is factual, that's based in the very essence and nature of God. God is with you. I am with you. I am with you even to the end of this aeon, this time, this epoch, this age. I can do that because I'm God. And I'm not going to be apart from you. I'm going to be with you while you go to tell people about me. This is my charge to you today, as well as my encouragement, that God is with you. And since he's with you, you have an opportunity to tell other people God is everywhere near. God is in all places at all times. And this God, he loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to help you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to lift you up. And I want to tell you that if you would just turn away your eyes of doubt and open up your eyes of faith, you'll be able to both discern and perceive and have your disposition changed about the presence of divine Creator God, who is here, who loves you, and wants to be with you. God is with you. Hallelujah. Be encouraged, and I want you to encourage other people with the same. Let's pray.